I tell you what, I am somewhat nervous. Well, nervous is probably an overstatement. I have a little bit of anxiety, let's put it that way. I am somewhat anxious because I never like being judged like this, Kira. I never like being evaluated like this.
I know.
Because I have a feeling I know exactly what is on the way here. Don't get me wrong, Kira hasn't told me directly, but I know Kira well enough at this point to know when something is on the way, let's put it that way. So, Kira, let's just, I'm going to rip the plaster off. Let's get right down to it, because I think we can have some fun with this. Let's say hello to Carolyn Mayer, who's on the phone. Let's give her a big round of applause. Dr. Carolyn Mayer. Carolyn, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming on, because, well, I say thanks for coming on. I don't know how I'm going to feel in a few minutes when I have been evaluated brutally by you and Kira. But, Kira, Carolyn Mayer, okay, is a chartered psychologist and a chartered scientist with a PhD in cognitive neuroscience, okay? You know, sure, we all have one of those. However, what is very interesting here is that she also developed the MA in psychology for fashion. So this is, I guess, Carolyn, I'm a layman here, so bear with me and humour me. Is this kind of, in a layman's terms, is this a scientific slash psychological application of our fashion choices, or what exactly is it? I'm sorry now if I'm grossly oversimplifying what you do, but would that be kind of what it is?
It is partly. It's definitely science-based. So there are two courses, actually. There's the MA, the one that you said, but there's also an MSc, Applied Psychology in Fashion, which is accredited by the British Psychological Society. So we take a very scientific approach, applying psychological theory and concepts in the context of fashion.
Okay.
So
well,
it could be clothing or other things.
Okay, well, see, this is why we invited you. Oh, sorry, I invited you onto the show this evening. Myself and Chris have been doing a radio show together for a very long time. So obviously we're looking at each other for an extended period of time every single night. And over the past couple of months, Chris has decided to wear what I can only call... Have you ever seen the TV series Keeping Up Appearances, Carolyn?
Yes.
Okay. Well, do you know the character of Onslow?
Yes.
Do you remember all he did? He used to wear a vest and maybe some tracksuit pants.
Yeah.
Yes, well, Chris has taken to doing this in the studio over the past couple of months. And I've got you on to basically help me, because I am blue in the face trying to tell him to please wear a hoodie or a jumper of some kind. Or why on earth, I'm trying to get to the bottom of why on earth he's wearing a vest or tracksuit pants into the studio. I know it's radio. I know that nobody can see us. People can only hear us. But that's why I got you on, to help me. What can I do? What is going on here?
Hold on a second now, Kira. If I could interject here for a moment, Carolyn, before we get down to business, and then believe me, you can answer Kira's question. It's very hot in here. They were doing some renovations, which means I believe they had to turn off the entire central aircon system because some of the rooms had like open circuits in them or something. So it was very hot. Also, because as Kira says, it's radio, I don't really think it matters what I look like. However, Carolyn, maybe you can shed some light on this as well. It almost seems to offend Kira personally that I dress like this. So I don't know. Yes, that is true. Kira's description of me is accurate. The average kind of garb now is maybe some cool tracksuit pants. I will say they are cool because they're cool. A vest and some trainers. Maybe there is something wrong with me, Carolyn. Maybe am I going through some type of quarter-life crisis? I don't know.
Could be. Could be you are. Could be you're trying to show off your muscles.
Well, that is something to do with it, Carolyn. I mean, you know, I've been going to the gym and stuff.
Well,
she is perceptive.
Me.
Carolyn, you are perceptive. Absolutely. So, you know, that could be it. But is it true, Carolyn, because I wanted to clear up some kind of silly rumours that you hear as well about fashion. You know the way there's this kind of thing that, you know, if a woman wears red, it means she's very sexually adventurous. Is there any truth to those kind of street science or bro science statements, or are they just that? Are they kind of silly, or is there any, have you found any truth to them?
There is some evidence in red that people who wear red are perceived as more attractive, and even when you take away that people can see the red colour, they still rate people who have been wearing red as more attractive, because the wearing of the red makes people feel more attractive.
No way.
Interesting.
So that there is actually some type of legitimate science there, especially from a lady in your position is willing to endorse.
Yep.
All right,
there's some evidence out there. Not that I've done personally, but some evidence which suggests that.
And it's evidence that you respect. You'd be like, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I think I trust that. I've looked into the studies. There's more than one. And in sport, people who wear red tend to win more. So football teams wearing red kits, and also boxers who wear red win over the opponents far more.
No way.
That is very interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I wasn't aware of that at all.
Can we just get back to the case of Chris please, Carlin, if that is okay?
Yeah, sure. I think he's either trying to show off his muscles or to attract you, or he just really genuinely doesn't care what he wears and feels comfortable and feels secure that what he's wearing is enough to do a good job on the show, and he doesn't have to worry about what he looks like. That might take up some extra decision making and cognitive capacity.
There you go, Carlin. I mean, you're
I don't know
my
happy
woman.
With what Carlin's just
you're
to
my
say.
Kind of woman, because I've been raising these defenses with Kira for a long while, Carlin.
Like, literally, that's the only thing he's been throwing back
that's
in my
it.
Face.
As you say, that the cognitive, because that is it. You hit on an interesting thing there, Carlin, when you say the. Did you use the term cognitive like capacity? So, as in, basically, for some people, obviously, the clothes they're going to wear is a massive decision and a massive undertaking. Does that probably genuinely really affects people, probably especially women in life, does it? Like the actual stress and struggle of what it is they're going to put on themselves?
It does, absolutely. And then you worry if you've actually have put on the right clothes, you know, and if it's appropriate when you go to a meeting or you just have an interaction with someone, have you made the right decision? So if you don't worry too much about what you're going to wear and wear the same thing every day, then that gets rid of that worry and that decision making.
That's part of it, Kira. I'm not being that is exactly a part of it. And Kira cannot appreciate that for
I
whatever reason.
I wonder, you know, from what Chris is wearing, is it actually affecting our radio show and the two of us working together?
Kira, not being funny now, because you mentioned that. Carolyn actually had I was reading. Carolyn, you can give me the long and the short of this, because I might not be describing it as articulately as you might. There is some, I won't say science, but there is some evidence to suggest that there is a certain psychology behind what a person wears. As in, did you perform a test with like a lab coat, but you told the participants two different things about the lab coat, and then one group performed better than the other, or am I wrong there?
Yeah, no, it wasn't me who performed the test. That test was done in North America, and it was two psychologists, one called Adam and the other Galinsky, and they did exactly that. So there was a white lab coat, an identical lab coat, and some people were told it was a painter's coat, an artist's painter's coat, and the other it was a doctor's coat. And they did three studies, and those who were told it was a doctor's coat and who actually wore the coat outperformed the other participants who were wearing what they thought was a painter's coat or other participants who just saw the coat.
Wow.
That's so
interesting. The people who basically, to break that down, the people who said to themselves, no, you know what, I'm wearing a coat of an important person, of a go-getter, of a person with high status, those people did the best in the task.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
Well, there was an article that was out last week about Mark Zuckerberg. Seemingly he tweeted or he put up on his Facebook page a picture of his wardrobe, which was just a whole load of grey
That's my
t-shirts.
Kind of wardrobe.
And then Steve Jobs as well.
Yeah.
He just wore a polo neck to work the whole time, didn't he? Or like a turtleneck.
They wore very boring clothes, jeans and a turtleneck.
But if you notice as well, like massive celebrities like Angelina Jolie, she sticks to pastels and greys and beiges and whites and stuff like that. Is there a power behind those sort of colours?
Yes, again, I mean, she knows that they suit her. She knows they're safe. And I suppose when she's wanting to show herself, it's not she wants to be seen not for what she's wearing, more for herself, for something that she's doing. And you see on the red carpet where there's celebrities, they wear designer outfits, particularly to highlight what they're wearing rather than what they're doing, whereas Angelina,
I get you. Yeah. I know what you're saying, exactly. It's more to compliment them than it is the outfit in itself. I hear you, exactly. But you know what, Kira, the only parallels I've drawn here are that me, Mark Zuckerberg and Steve Jobs all have very similar fashion routines. So, I mean, I think I'm in good company.
Oh,
I don't know about you.
Maybe I should get a little bit worried.
Yeah,
then,
Kira, I mean, to
Do
be
you know
honest.
What? Sorry, though. When in terms of fashion psychology, this is something that I've always really wondered about. And I was wondering, Carlin, if you could maybe explain it to me. What is it about women that look at men in uniforms or men that look at women in different uniforms that they get turned on? You know, that whole kind of sexual idea of
the army guy
or the hot guard or the hot policeman. What is the psychology behind that?
It's to do with control and either being submissive or having someone take control.
See, that's what I was saying to Kira, that it's to do with like the kind of the aspect that those dudes are in charge. You know what I mean? But those dudes can tell you what to do.
Chris had this theory, though, that women were more into men wearing uniform than men would be into women wearing uniforms.
No, no, I'll explain what I meant, because Kira and I, just before we came on there, I was kind of arguing with Kira about this. Kira was saying, oh, you know, girls are can be quite turned on by men who are in army uniforms or in, you know, police uniforms. And I said, yeah, but it doesn't work the same with men. Men are only turned on by the girl's uniform if it's sexualized. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. We're not actually turned on by a nurse's uniform. We're turned on by, like, a nurse's uniform when it has suspenders and, like, you know, a big bust. Do you know what I mean? Like, uniforms don't work that way with us, I don't think. I think women are much more susceptible to it.
Yes. Well, that's because men are really only interested in, from an evolutionary perspective anyway, young and healthy women.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what they're looking for. They really don't care what they're wearing.
No, exactly. So, the status is irrelevant. Exactly. Their status as people in society doesn't matter at all to men, really. It's, you know, basically, are they good baby houses? Yeah. Not to be blunt, but, you know, it's... Can I father a child? That's what it is. But look, Carolyn, I think if anything, and I'm delighted to kind of say goodbye to you on this note.
I think this
backfired massively on Kira. No, Carolyn, don't be sorry.
It
benefited me hugely, backfired enormously on Kira, because Dr. Carolyn Mayer, if you are a chartered psychologist and a chartered scientist with a PhD in cognitive neuroscience who has two courses based on fashion, an MA and an MSc, both to do with psychology and fashion of psychology, you're a woman who can make these statements authoritatively. And if you're saying how I dress is okay, well then, Carolyn, you know, as far as I'm concerned, how I dress is okay. You know, I mean, what more can be said, Kira? A doctor has literally given
Chris.
Me a clean bill of health.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Well, look, Carolyn, for real, thank you so much for coming on and for joining us this evening. It was very enlightening. There we go.
Thank you.
No worries. That is Carolyn, Kira. Backfiring on you enormously.
Yes, I know. Okay, do you know what? I hold my hands up, Chris.
Yeah.
I hold my hands up. You know, I awesome. Just wanted to make you a better person.
Obviously, I'm a brilliant person as it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, there's no need for any of that,
Kira.
That's fine.
That's the last time that I will try to interfere with you or your leather jackets that you buy off South Korean websites or vests that you wear coming in here or 5 month beard hair that you haven't trimmed or anything else. That's me done.
That's because I want you to appreciate me for who I am.
Do you know what it is, though? And it's just so silly as well. There is me thinking that I could change you, that I could help change you.
No, girlfriend. I want you to appreciate me for what's on the inside.
Ah, look.
See what I'm saying? That's what I want.
I do, but I don't have to look at that.